everyone. My name is Stephanie, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is May 23rd, 1994. I want to start by thanking Bill for asking me to speak tonight, and he asked me to do this so long ago, and I'm really grateful to be here. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, and I just want to start by saying that I'm just here to share my experience, strength, and hope to the best of my ability, and forgive me if I'm going to be all over the place, but I might be. So before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, in high school, throughout high school, and probably just around that time is when I started drinking and I started smoking pot. It was in the 80s, that was the thing to do. I was growing up in Ventura County on the beach, and that's what I wanted to do. So I hung out with a crowd of people who did a lot of drugs, and I managed to make it through high school because I didn't want my parents to find out. So I was able to keep my grades up and graduate. And shortly after high school, I just want to add into that part of my story. I think that, a lot of alcoholics today have substance issues, in their story, and that's a part of my story too. When I was 19, I ended up going into a rehab and stayed there, and I knew I had some issues, but I definitely didn't think alcohol was one of them. So after I got out of rehab, I I went through something called the Psych Tech program, which is a year program, graduated from that. The whole time there I was drinking and, going to bars every night. I started making a ton of money. Back then I was only 19, and that was a lot of money for a 19-year-old with no responsibility and who liked to be out partying to be making. I was working at the state hospital. And I just think during that time, every night I was working the PM shift, I'd get off, go out and drink, come home, go to sleep, and it started happening where I was drinking, before work, because I didn't have to be there till 3. So I figured, if I had a couple beers before I went in, afterwards I'd come home, drink all night again, sleep in late. It was just a pattern for me. And pretty soon I started to add in some other things. And the people at my job there were getting kind of curious and asked me, said they were concerned about me if I was, loaded on the job. And at that point in time, I left the job and never went back. I just decided that I wasn't going to show up anymore because I felt like they weren't minding their business and they were too much into my business. So I left. And, even today it prevents me from getting another state job because I have that, I don't even know what it's called, like abandonment on my record where I just split and never went back and didn't tell anybody why. So at that point in time, I met somebody who became my husband, and he and I had, a party just for about 2 years straight, and I didn't work. I didn't do, much of anything except get loaded and stay loaded. We moved from place to place. We were always running from the law. I started to get arrested, started committing crimes, and I think about in 1992, I ended up getting a possession charge and 13 counts of felony forgery. And I was on probation back then. You were on formal probation where you had to go in like once a week, and I would have to pee in the cup, and I was doing all these things to get around it. I was drinking all this Jell-O and crap and drinking water and like doing all this stuff before I go into tests. And truthfully, it worked. A lot of the times it worked. It was amazing. Like I was so happy I could continue to do my deal, And but pretty soon I just reached a point where My husband ended up going to prison, and I was all alone, and I had no place to live, and I was out on the street. And I was just filled with that pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. You know, I didn't want to go to my family because I was ashamed of who I had become. I had no money. I wasn't employable. You know, it was just a bad time for me. And what ended up happening through the grace of God is that I ended up getting arrested one more time, and I tested dirty. I got arrested, and I was facing 3 to 5 years in prison for violating my probation. And at that point in time, my probation officer said, you know, I want you to leave here and go check into a recovery home. Because I was sitting in there crying, and I was telling him, you don't understand. You don't know how it is. My life is so hard. And he said, just go to this place and see if they'll let you in. So, you know, I was willing to do anything to stay out of jail. I did not want to go to jail. So I did not want to be an AA, but I did not want to go to jail. So I went to the recovery home, knocked on the door, met with the people. I had a family member waiting for me outside. The woman talked to my probation officer, and she said to me, you can come in now. Just tell your family out there to go get your stuff, and you can come in. And I was like, oh, no, I can't come right now. I'm like, I'm helping my family paint some cabinets and stuff. There's no way I can come today. I said, but I'll come, like, next week or something. And she basically said, if you don't come today, we're not letting you in. So, you know, thank God. I, you know, walked out to my family member just in tears, like, I have to stay here. It was, like, the worst day of my life, you know. And I remember I was filling out their little questionnaire, and they were like, how much do you drink, this and that. And I was thinking, I was writing in there, oh, like a glass of wine once a week, you know, just total crap I was writing. And but I ended up, thank God, you know, I really feel like because of my higher power, I was able to stay in that program. And it was a 90-day program. It was all women, and it was a tough place to be. I didn't want to be there. You know, they said we had to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. They didn't let me get rides from my family. They didn't let me, you know, we had to, like, wash cards to get cigarette money. They made us do all this crap, and they didn't let us have caffeine. And I got in trouble there because I snuck into the office one time, and I, like, stole some caffeinated coffee because I just wanted anything, you know. And that's what it was about for me, though, you know, going into that recovery home. It wasn't about being honest. It wasn't about, you know, it was just about getting what I could from people, using people, getting loaded. That's all I wanted to do. And I did start going to meetings. They kept telling me I needed to get a job so I could pay my rent there at the recovery home. And I kept telling them that I couldn't, that nobody would hire me, that I was crazy. There was no way I could ever work again. And they kept, you know, telling me that I had to get a job or I would have to leave. And I ended up getting a waitressing job. And through that job, it's like my higher power put me just exactly where I needed to be. Because right at that particular place, it's called Baker Square, down over there in Wainimi in Ventura County. And the local AA and NA group used to come there for coffee like several nights out of the week after meetings. And I started to get to know people. I started to go to the meetings over there. I started to recognize them when they were coming in. I started to develop that support system, you know. And I was so lucky to have this group of people take me through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I really feel like today that if I hadn't gone through that process and written out my steps, done the steps the way that they're laid out in the big book, and worked with that sponsor, that there's no way I'd be standing here today. You know, no way. And I get emotional when I talk about it, because I know that, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous has just given me so much. I mean, before I came here, I couldn't work. I was in jail. You know, I mean, my life was a mess. I didn't have my family. I didn't really have friends. I had nothing. And since I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous, just coming to meetings, showing up, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, eventually you get to have other things in your life. And eventually, like, all that stuff, that damage is repaired, you know. And today I'm really, I'm able to work. I have a daughter that I take care of, you know. I'm responsible for another person. She's never seen me loaded. I have a great relationship with family members. I mean, my life is just completely different today because of Alcoholics Anonymous. So anyway, I hooked up with these people, and I just did everything that they told me to do in AA. I washed coffee cups. I took every commitment I could. Back then, you could smoke in meetings, so I would, you know, pick up the ashtrays after the meetings. I was the treasurer. I was anything that they wanted me to be, any commitment they asked me to do, I would do it, because I was taught when I came here, never turn down an AA request. And so I just did whatever, you know, whatever I was asked to do. I also was involved in taking a group, taking speakers out to California Youth Authority once a week for about 2 years. I did that. And I just had a great group of Alcoholics Anonymous friends that I hung out with, and most of us got sober around the same time, and we were really doing a lot of work. In the year 2000, I ended up moving to Massachusetts, and I was there for about 8 years, and I just moved to Visalia probably about a year ago. And I think one of the toughest things for me was leaving that group of people, because that was really my family. You know, I had my family, but in Alcoholics Anonymous, I feel like this is my home, because people know me. You know, they know the stuff that I've done. They can connect with me and understand me. And I just always feel love and acceptance in these rooms. It's very different. So leaving that home group of mine was extremely difficult for me, and moving to a whole different state. And the reason I went there was because I met a dude in AA. So I decided to go move all the way across the country to be with that dude, and left my program behind in Ventura County. And so, you know, it was a struggle out there. And I did go to meetings. I was able to connect with women. I was doing service here and there, but not to the extent that I had done it. And, you know, just to let you guys know, honestly, for me, if I'm not doing that stuff, my mind's just not in it. You know, I'm not being of help. I get extremely self-centered. People make me angry all the time. And even without the, you know, without alcohol or without me being loaded, I can still be really crazy. And thank God for the women in the program and the friends that I made in, you know, in that home group, because they actually have always kept in contact with me and told me to get my butt to meetings, you know. I've been through a ton of things in sobriety. When I was almost a year sober, my grandfather, who raised me, passed away. And that was really difficult, but I was able to, you know, stay close to the program and stay sober through that. When I was in Massachusetts about 2 years ago, my sponsor that I had for, you know, the whole time since I first got sober actually died of lung cancer. And, you know, God just always takes care of me. And actually, she ended up passing away when I was coming out here to see family, and I was able to attend that funeral and to speak at that funeral, you know, and that was really important to me. And just this past year, coming back to California, I wasn't working, I was on unemployment, and I was able to care for the woman who raised me. She was dying of cancer, and, you know, I was able to show up, suit up and show up. And, you know, the only reason that I've been able to show up for other people today is because of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's just what I learned here, It's what I learned in these rooms. And I was there for her too when she passed away. And, you know, I don't have to drink today because of it. And I don't. I don't drink. I don't pick up. I know that I have to come to meetings. It's been difficult trying to reconnect and get a new sponsor. But that's an excuse. And that's something that I'm still working on and that I need to do. Moving to Visalia, I started going to meetings pretty regularly because I was on unemployment, and so I had a lot of time. And I started a job back in late December, and since that time I've kind of flaked off of meetings, so I haven't been doing that great, you know. And I was thinking, I'm canceling out on Bill tonight. I didn't even want to come here because I'm like, I'm not going to share. I haven't even been going to meetings. And I called one of my girlfriends from Ventura County, and she was like, you know what, no matter what, you suit up and show up. Like, this is a commitment I made, and I just have to be honest and come out here and let people know, you know, if you don't work the program, you're going to be nuts. And eventually you'll go out and get loaded. I know that. I have a lot of people in my life. I had a girlfriend who went through that program with me, and she and I were the best of buds, man. We hung out for, God, I think about at least 8 years. And she did not want to do the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. She did not want to work with the sponsor, you know. And she and I were on two different paths. And she ended up going out and getting loaded again. And actually now has about, I think I saw her about a month ago, and she has about 60 days sober. You know, and it was so awesome to see her, just to see her getting sober again. But I'm just so grateful that I've been able to stay here, and I don't ever have to drink or use again, you know. And my life just keeps improving. I mean, I got a cousin in jail. He used to go with me to meetings all the time. He's sitting in prison. You know, I don't want to do that stuff anymore. I really don't. I don't want to be out there, like, you know, just picking up people in bars and just like not working and stealing and robbing and going in and out of jail. I don't want to have to go in and bend over and cough, okay? I don't want to have to like pee in front of people. I don't have to do any of that. I don't have anyone telling me what I have to do in my life. I have to show up to work. You know, I take care of my daughter. These are things that I get to do because I've been able to stay sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I don't have to go meet with some guy who's going to, you know, lay out the conditions of my life. And it's because of this program. And it's because of, you know, surrounding myself with people who have maintained their sobriety and staying connected with them. And even in the times when I get away to just get up here and, you know, put it out there and try one more time to be honest and to reconnect. So anyway, I just want to finish off by saying, and I know, like, he wanted me to come speak for 40 minutes, but that's an awfully long time. I think it's, like, verging on self-centeredness up here. I just want to end by saying that it's so important to get a sponsor, and it's so important, especially for the women, to connect with the women and love the women, you know, and they're the ones who will keep you sober. Just to make sure that you do the steps the way that they're laid out in the big book, and that you try to go to meetings, you know, every day if you're new, and always be of help to other people. And I'm so grateful to have been here tonight and to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope with everybody. Thank you so much for always being here.
So we'll invite you know, it's something that Stephanie and I talked about before the meeting that I've seen affect others in our community as well. She's new to our community, and so she's had a hard time, like a lot of us do, meeting other new people. So I hope that you will embrace her and don't let her get too far away. And maybe we can all convince her that a service commitment to this meeting might be a good idea. So with that said, we do have a little bit of time left, and Stephanie is being a good sport. She's willing to take some questions. If you would, please just give us questions.
Hi,
Thanks, Tim. Well, on a daily basis, I always make sure that I turn my life and my will over to God every morning and connect with Him, and I do that again at night. I make sure that throughout the day, if I'm, you know, creating harm or being self-centered, I try to deal with those things right away so I don't have to write or make an amends later. I do some other things. I think that when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I really didn't want to go to church or anything like that. I wasn't doing it. I wasn't into it. I was far away from that. But I actually do that in my life today. And so for me, I think that if I hadn't, for all those years, you know, gone to meetings regularly and been of service to other people, that I don't think I would be able to just maintain my sobriety without coming to meetings, you know. And that's why I'm here tonight, because I just am showing up. So you can do the minimal, like I'm doing right now, and then your life can kind of suck, you know. Or you can do what you're supposed to be doing. And for me, it fills me with that sense of happiness, joy, and freedom. And so that's what I'm making a commitment to do for myself tonight. So. I have sponsored people in the past. I would be willing to sponsor somebody and just let anyone know, you know, if I was asked to be a sponsor, I would definitely immediately work with another woman as my temporary sponsor, because I would never sponsor anyone without going to somebody myself. So, yeah. Thanks. Anything else? I've never done an AA question and answer. It's funny, right? It's very different. I mean, AA, no matter where I go, Alcoholics Anonymous for me is always going to be home. In Ventura County, in the meetings there, and the way that I, you know, grew up in AA, it was all about the big book. And that's what it's always been like for me, the big book and the steps, being of service, going to meetings, all the things that were taught in those steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. In Massachusetts, there's just two different ways of thinking out there, so it was a little different for me, and it was a struggle, but I was able to attend a women's meeting out there that I fell in love with. And so, you know, I think that there's always going to be differences, but as long as you're suiting up, showing up, being of service, you know, and doing what you're supposed to be doing, that you can stay sober no matter where you go. So I think that it's so difficult to say, you know, which step changed me the most. I know that in doing the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, step 4 is talked about to, you know, just put so much pressure on you and everything and having to write that crap out. And truthfully, for me, I didn't want to do it, but I did do it, and I was so grateful to have done that and to be able to share that with another person, I think. And when I was done, I know a lot of people save their resentment list so they can go over it later. I did make a list out of those resentments. My sponsor and I talked about who I owed an amend to, and I made a separate list for that. And we ended up burning that 4th step, you know. And I think for me, that was such a healing process. But for today, the most important step for me is steps 11 and 12, which is, you know, trying to be in the will of my higher power and to help another alcoholic. So.
Have you found it easier to have those around staying sober?
No. I don't mean no, like, if I go, you know, I think it's much easier for me to be around alcohol, you know. I feel like God has removed the obsession from me today. I do not want to drink or get loaded. And recently, about 2 months ago, he was able to remove the smoking cigarettes obsession, which is even just as tough, you know. But I don't have a desire for that stuff today. And it's not that it's hard to, you know, I think that in the beginning it's so difficult, you know. It is harder, and I think that when people come up for 6 months and stuff, man, that's why for me I get emotional and clap, because it's hard to do that. But you need to stay connected, and that's what's hard for me. So it's not about, you know, do I want to get loaded? It's about maintaining my serenity and being of service. So sometimes that's tricky because I'm not doing that today, you know, besides this meeting. But I just want to say to the women, man, keep coming back. Keep coming back because, you know, you're a miracle. And I'm just so grateful to be here. I mean, if you guys would have seen me, like, way back then, I'm not even the same person. I was real skinny way back then. I thought I looked good, okay? But I feel I have so much more inside today than I ever had way back then, you know? And just keep coming back no matter what. Just keep coming back.
So how about this? Can you tell us about a relationship that has changed as a result of this prep work? What has changed since you've been sober? Are you a family member or...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, one of the... I think probably the best example is that particular husband of mine that I had when I was out getting loaded. He and I got sober for a while together. I stayed married to him until I had probably about 5 or 6 years sober, and he's the father of my daughter. He did not stay in the program, and he and I went through a big custody battle when she was an infant. And I had a lot of resentments around that. You know, I had a lot of resentments around him taking that daughter when she was a little infant. And I knew he was loaded. You know, but he's so, like, such an expert that he was able just to con that court one more time, you know, and they kept giving him visitation. And it was, you know, it was just making me ill. And, I think part of the reason I left California was to get away from him, you know, because she was about 2 at that time, and I was just ready to go. Since returning to California, you know, he found out that we had returned to California, and he wrote me a letter, you know, requesting to have some contact with my daughter. And I think that if it wasn't because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I wouldn't be able to do that. I would still be harboring those resentments. I was able to give my daughter the option of whether or not she wanted to have contact with him, and she decided that she did. So I think that, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, for me, I've just learned how to forgive, to be forgiving, you know, and to try to stay out of judgment. And so I think that's one relationship that has changed, just God giving me the willingness to try to see what's best for her, you know, and not allowing my stuff to get in the way. You know, other than that, I mean, my family didn't want me around. Nobody really wanted me around. And today people want me around. And I'm able, like I said, I was able to go back and care for that, my grandmother actually, who raised me, and take care of her when she was dying. And that was a big change because I wasn't there for anybody when I was getting loaded. I didn't even go home. I didn't want them to see me. So, you know, my relationships have changed tremendously because of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay, thanks. Can you tell us how you chose a sponsor and what made you decide to ask that person?
In the recovery home, they made us get a sponsor. So I really feel like it was my higher power, but I heard this woman sharing, and there was just something about her, and I really can't tell you what it was, because at that point in time, I was just sitting in the back of the room crying almost every day. I couldn't really even share when I first came into AA. I mean, it was hard. And I met her, and I asked her if she would be my sponsor. I don't know. She was like this cute, petite, older woman, and I just liked her. And she agreed to do that. And then she started coming to the recovery home without me even asking her, and she would drop literature off and things for me to read. And, you know, she was like the she really took an interest in me. And she just was filled with hope and happiness, and that's what I wanted. So I think that's how I ended up choosing her. But, you know, I really feel like my higher power has taken care of me and just placed people in front of me that needed to be there for me. And so that's probably really what happened. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, you guys. Thank you.